Hello and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you are tuning in, and hope that you would be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah, and we thank God for everybody that's here in the house and online that's watching this morning. Hallelujah, I don't want to be before you long. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor G's. They call me LaVarn, and I'm excited to share the Word of God this morning. I pray that you receive what God has given me. And today, we're talking about the hope of glory. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to be coming out of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to start at the 7th verse. This morning, that's where we're coming from. And so as I get ready to get into the scripture, as I was praying about what to preach today, the Lord just put it on my heart to just remind us of where our hope comes from. Remind us of where all of our help comes from. Sometimes we can get in the mode of doing the things and getting in the motion of the day and day in and day out, and even doing the things of God and trying to be doing all the things that God is calling us to do, walking in our purpose or our calling, as so we would call it. And sometimes when we get caught up in just doing the things of life or the things of ministry and the things of God as we would see fit, if we're not careful, sometimes we can allow distractions to come in and take our mind off of the reality of who our hope and where our strength comes from. Because you know what? It gets hard out here. It gets hard out here sometimes. I feel a little old now, so I can say this. Like the young people say, life be lifing. Right? Life be life. And I used to be a young person. I can't claim that no more. But life be life in sometimes. And I get it. We all have been there. And today I want to speak to those of us who have been kind of in the trenches, doing the work of ministry, doing the work that God has called us to do. And that don't necessarily mean you got to be a preacher or a pastor, but even in just you living your life out as God would call you to live it, that's a work, that's ministry, because we are living epistles, right? We are sometimes, I tell this to people all the time, sometimes we're the only Bible that people will ever read, because they see us, our walk with Christ in our life. And when we're trying to live upright sometimes and try to do the things of God, and we believe in God for the promise, the things that he told us, the visions, the dreams that he's given us, is when it doesn't come to pass the way that we think it should or when we think it should, sometimes we can get weary and well doing. But I want to encourage you today. Amen. Amen. So sometimes life be life, man. And in our attempt to stay in the way of the Christian walk, sometimes it gets to the point where we question everything about our journey. We think about, you know, the situations in our home. Sometimes our jobs are going crazy. Sometimes family issues are getting strong. Even personal relationships, loved ones. And even sometimes even in our church, you know, things get a little hectic, right? And sometimes when we get in those spaces, we say, God, I actually surrendered my life to your will. I've been going to church regularly. I've been constantly praying in my prayer life. I have a consistent prayer life. I've been doing right by others. I'm paying my tithes, doing the work of ministry faithfully and generously, Lord. But where is the payoff? Where is the payoff? What is this? Has this amounted to? Because I'm doing everything you told me to do, but it's not looking like what I thought it was going to look like, God. Things are getting hard out here, and I don't know what else to do. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Amen. It makes us question even sometimes to the point where we question our purpose. Are we even walking in the right path? Did we hear God wrong? Did we misstep? Did we take ourselves out of sync with God's plan? Because God, this does not look like what you showed me in the vision, God. Your promise, you told me that this was going to happen and I haven't seen it yet. God, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we talk about calling is, the definition of calling is a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. So when we feel that we're walking in our calling, it's not something that we have stepped into lightly. It's something that we feel passionate about, right? It's something that we feel like, God, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. At least that's what I thought. But when times get hard in the midst of trying to do the will of God, if we're not careful, the enemy could come in and start speaking and showing us things and making us feel like that we messed up, right? But I'm here today to encourage you that keep on walking. Don't lose heart.
Hey guys, it's Bui here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, and I need you to go ahead and download our TCF Church app. Per usual, you can catch our sermons, inspirational messages, and updates. But we have something new, our community circle chat. Feel free to go ahead and start engaging with us in the app in real time. And of course, you can still find it in the Google Play Store and the Apple Store. Don't miss out. And remember, transformation starts here.
So I told you our theme scripture this morning is coming from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we're starting at the 7th verse. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. And then we're gonna go into another little scripture a little bit later, but let me just read this verse in your hearing. And I'm reading out of the NIV version. It says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life Hold on now. There we go. So that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I want to skip down to the 16th verse. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Verse 18, so fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just to give a little bit of backstory where we are, we're in 2 Corinthians. So Paul is writing his second letter to the Corinthians. He wrote 1 Corinthians. That was his first letter to them. And in that first letter, Paul had been dealing with a lot of immorality issues in the church. And it was about setting order in the church and how they should be operating as a church, right? And then the first letter also dealt with the importance of lordship of Jesus in our lives. And that's important to remember, lordship of Jesus in our lives. And in this second letter, where we come into 2 Corinthians, it is following up on that first letter, as some things have been improved, but now there's a new threat of false teachings and teachers infiltrating the church. They're called the Judaizers that are coming, trying to disassemble everything Paul has set up. And so because of this, he is now having to defend his ministry and the proof of his apostleship. He, in fact, talks a lot about suffering in ministry to prove his motives in ministry. In turn, this gives us the basis of our conversation today. You see, while Paul was sharing about his suffering and seeking to do well, he somehow found himself encouraging others all the while telling them to not lose hope. And that's such an amazing thing to know everything about Paul's life and everything he went through, and still he was somehow able to say, in spite of it, telling other people, listen, don't lose hope. There was something that he knew inside. There was something he knew internally that kept him in the midst of every storm he was going through to allow him to not lose hope. Yeah. How, Paul, are you able to deal with being accused of falsehood, questions about your authority to walk in your calling, question your reputation, your character, and still have the courage to encourage others? It is because he had the hope of glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul starts this chapter by telling us right away to not lose heart because of the ministry that we have been through the mercy of God. That's in the first verse there. We're not at that verse where we're going to really get into the meat of it, but he started there. So my first point today is, as I'm encouraging you, is don't lose heart. As we seek to do God's will, we have to remind ourselves that we are undeserving of his grace. And it is only because of his love and mercy that he chooses to use us in spite of us. So because of this, we can't lose heart. It's important that we remind ourselves as we are trying to consider the things that are going on in life, the trials and tribulations of life that are going on around us, that It's only because of God's grace that we're even here anyway. Sometimes we forget that. We think that we're owed something. We think that we're deserving of this and that or whatever. But no, it's only by the grace of God and his love for us that we actually have room to be in his presence anyway, right? Because we were deserving of death. We were deserving of every bad thing there was because we denied him. Starting with Adam and Eve, we denied him. We turned our backs on him. Even the Israelites, when you think about everything they were delivered from, and yet and still they were wanting to go back to Egypt, everything they had been taken out of. I mean, they had seen great exploits, right? They had seen God move the sea, and they were able to pass over, and he killed all the Egyptians, and they were able to see the cloud and all the fire and all that. They saw these great things. They saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, the God in their midst. But still, for some reason, they wanted, because things got tough, because things got a little weary sometimes, they were like, well, we'd rather go back to Egypt. We're undeserving of God's love. We're undeserving of his grace, but yet and still he chooses to use us. So we got to remember that, first of all, when we were trying to get perspective on what's going on in our lives, and when we get weary and well-doing, remind yourself that I don't deserve this anyway, so why should I be upset about this hard moment when I know God is still here with me in the midst of it? Hallelujah. See, losing heart, the Greek idea when this was talked about in the scripture of losing heart meant to be a faint-hearted coward. It gives the connotation that there will be a need for courage in this walk. So when he's telling them to not lose heart, when he's telling the Corinthians, as Paul is telling them to not lose heart, he's not just telling them to don't get weary, but he's saying, don't be a coward. Don't be a coward, which tells us that, yes, you need to understand that this walk with Christ is not going to always be easy. It's not going to always be a bed of roses. There are going to be some tough moments. There are going to be some things that are going to test your faith. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Yes, life is lifing right now, but the reality is we still have a hope. We still have a hope. This chapter talks about Satan blinding unbelievers to the truth of God. So because of that, they are unable to recognize the glory of God until light comes in. But if we are honest, sometimes, even as believers, we let our carnal mind blind us to the realities of God's truth because we forget to keep our spiritual mind in check. Satan's battleground is the mind, and he can only blind those who do not believe. In other words, how solid is your belief in God's word? That's the question I want to ask you, because if you started this walk with God on a word, why are you not still believing that word? Yeah. How has the enemy been able to come in the middle of you walking out the word of God in your life and cause you to say, you know what, maybe this ain't God. Maybe I got it wrong. No, in the beginning, when you first said yes to God, you were willing to, as we just sang, surrender all. But again, don't lose heart. Don't be a coward. Understand that there's going to be some rough moments, and the enemy would want to make us believe that everything that we set out to do because of God was a lie. Yeah. What does the Bible tell us about Satan? He is the father of lies. What he began, he will finish. That's it. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Oh, come on. Do you really believe that? Then your actions and your walk with God should imitate what you say you believe. It should imitate what you say you believe, because we have to be mindful of that. And the enemy would want nothing more than to send smoke screens and to blind us of the truth of what's really going on. With the enemy, when you see stuff starting to get turmoil starting to come up and things start to get real, real busy and crazy in your life, it might just be that God is on the other side waiting to show you a deliverance, waiting to show you something way more greater than what you can see right now. But the enemy would want nothing more than you to take this moment to leave off path so you can get out of step with God. Hallelujah. The enemy has been doing a great job at keeping us ignorant to the glory of God, which causes us to lose sight of the truth. The result of this ignorance is the killing of our joy, our peace, division in relationships, homes going awry, questioning our calling, our purpose, and weakening our faith. As we know in John 10 and 10, it says this, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So, but Jesus says right behind that, but I came that they may have life, and that more abundantly. So if we know this, if we remind ourselves, this is why the Bible teaches us that we have to hide the word in our heart. Because when the enemy comes in like a roaring lion, again, like, he is not the lion, but he is like a lion. We have to begin to let that word rise up in us and remind ourselves daily. That's why we have to die to the flesh daily, because if we don't die to the flesh daily, that enemy is going to come day after day. He's going to be on his job. He's going to be on his job. He's going to send stuff to your way. He's going to send stuff for your mind, send people your way. That he's going to impress them and say, try to get you out of character, try to get you out of your step with what God told you to do and how he told you to live. Because I just told y'all, sometimes we are the only Bible that people will ever see. And if people can get us off sack, they're going to be like, see, I told you they weren't a real Christian. See, I told you they ain't really believe God like they said. How they going to be a Christian? And they right. Listen, we make mistakes. We fall. We mess up. But the important thing is that we remind ourselves, even in those moments when we mess up, of who God is in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Who is Jesus? Who is I? When he says, I came, is Jesus, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We are of no good on our own we are of no good on our own accord if we are left to our own devices, but the power we need to conquer life's trials and tribulations come from the source, the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Do y'all believe that this morning? Hallelujah. So the first point was don't lose heart. And so you don't want to lose heart because of point number two. I ain't going to be here long. Praise Jesus. Point number two, it's because of what you carry. Don't lose heart. Because it's what you carry that the enemy is after. Verse 7, where we come into our this theme scripture today, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The first thing that I think is very interesting in this verse right here in verse 7 is that he says, we are treasures in jars of clay. If we know anything about jars of clay at that time, they were very weak vessels. If we think about it from a cultural perspective of how the Corinthians and Paul would have understood what jars of clay were, they were very weak vessels. They weren't very strong at all. And so he connects us to being jars of clay, meaning that on our own, we are of no real strength. But somehow, in the midst of us being of no real strength, there is something greater on the inside of us that is able to carry us, even though we are weak vessels. And so we have to remind ourselves that we are of no good on our own. So again, thinking about the fact that we're walking this walk, we're getting weary and well doing, we have already reminded ourselves that we cannot lose hope, we cannot lose courage, we can't be a coward, because it's what's inside of us that really matters anyway. And so he goes on in verse 8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Let's break that down a little bit. So let's deal with that first one. He says, we are hard pressed. Because you carry the glory of God within you, you have something that the enemy wants and can't have. Why do you think anxiety and depression is running high? Why do you think there's so much turmoil going on around you and your family and in your church and in your job? Why do you think the enemy is stirring up trouble so much? Because of something that's on the inside of you that he wants to get out of you, which he can't have. But he's like, if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it either. He's trying to bring pressure, that hard-pressed pressure, to give in, because what inside of you is so great. And so then the next one, he says, perplexed but not in despair. Not sure how we're going to get out of this hell, but I'm not in despair. Sometimes, yeah, it gets a little crazy because we don't understand what's going on. The bills are acting funny. Lord, my family just, I don't know, like the devil just got a hold of them. They ain't never act like this before. But for some reason right now, every last nerve that I got is on my nerve. You know what I mean? And it's like, God, I don't know how I got here. And I don't know what's going on. But for some reason, I'm perplexed but not in despair, meaning that I'm still able to walk through this season in spite of what I don't understand right now. Again, because I have a hope in glory. The hope of glory is working within me. So even when I don't understand God, I still choose to trust you because I know that my help isn't coming from anybody else but you. Isn't coming from anybody else but you. So I'm hard pressed, but not crushed. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. And then that third one, persecuted, talked about, left out to dry, calling you out your name. Having to stand alone sometimes when everybody else is with this person or that person, and they seem to just just act like you don't exist. And they're just trying to call you everything but a child of God. And all you're trying to do is live according to God's will for your life. Why is it that every time I turn around, somebody got something to say about me? I stay to myself. I don't do nothing to nobody. I'm just out here trying to live life. And people always got an issue with me. What is it? It ain't you. It's the glory that's inside of you that they're trying to work up out of you. And I'm telling you today, if you remind yourself of who is the hope of glory, you will remind yourself, you know what? Yeah, they got a problem with me, but it's not me. It's what's inside of me. So God, I stand on your word today. I have trust in you. I have peace that surpasses all understanding because I know I'm not the real issue. It's you that they have a problem with because I'm standing and in proximity to you because I'm hidden behind your cross. So it's really not you. When we put things in perspective, it really ain't you that they got an issue with. It's Jesus. Because when Jesus steps into the room, he makes everything tremble. When Jesus steps into the room, he starts turning situations around. When Jesus steps in the room, he starts making people uncomfortable because he's going to expose them. See, when the light comes into the room, darkness cannot stay. I don't care what form it shows up in. When light comes into the room, when Jesus Christ shows up in the room, every dark space has to be illuminated. And they can't stand it. So instead of them trying to transform into light, sometimes they're trying to create darkness. You're trying to dim your light. They're trying to dim your purpose. They're trying to dim your calling. And sometimes when things don't look like they're supposed to, we take that as a source of, oh, this ain't what I'm supposed to be doing. No. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. This is right where you need to be. This is right where God wants you to be because it's in these moments that he can crush you and he can press you and he can tear you up. Because sometimes some things in us, we think they're doing good, but it might have to die. And that comes to my third point. So the first point, again, is don't lose heart. The second point is it's because of what you carry. And now the third point is this. Something's got to die. Something's got to die. I'm almost done, y'all. Praise God. We always carry around in our body, the verse 10 of our scripture says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And then verse 11 says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Listen, we want the life of Jesus to be evident in us, right? And some things that bring about his glory in our life have to come through the death of Jesus Christ. Trials and tribulations, which can equate to the crucifixion that Jesus went through, the trials and tribulations that he had to go through. He was our example of what we might have to go through sometimes because we are crucified with Christ, as the scripture tells us, right? So sometimes when things have to die in order for us to be resurrected with Christ, to live in the fullness of God's glory. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that sometimes when the hard times come, when you think you're doing right by God and you're trying to walk in your calling, walk in your purpose, you're doing everything you think you're supposed to do. Sometimes things come in your life and you thinking they're there to mess you up and destroy you. Sometimes it's trying to kill something with inside of you. Because sometimes when we in this walk, we can get prideful. We can get into a place where we think we're better than. Where we think that we know more than, and we are able to do above any and this person and that person, and I ain't in the same place as that person. I already overcome that, so that ain't my story. That ain't my issue. No, you got to be careful. Thank God that you're delivered from that. Because if it was just yesterday, you might be still in that situation. Some of y'all, let me talk to some of y'all just got saved yesterday and you think that you on top of the world. Let me tell you, you better be careful about how you walk this walk with Christ because that very thing that you think that you've overcome can come back and pull you right back in if you're not careful. That's why you got to remind yourself that you got to let that stuff die. See, when we get saved, we think that God is just all that stuff goes away. No, what it is that now we have a Savior that's able to walk us through complete deliverance, complete healing, complete salvation. And so, yes, you are saved at the point of when you accept Jesus Christ, but the issues of life are still going to be there until you change your environment, until you kill some stuff off. So that means you're going to have to kill some friendships. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some of us want to be like God. We want to be more like God, but we're not willing to give up the friendships that kept us not being like God. Those things that kept us in sin nature. Sometimes it's the people that we hang around because that temptation comes up. And every time they come around, they trigger that thing. They trigger that issue for you. And you wondering, why, God, I can't beat this. It's because you haven't changed your environment. That situation gotta die. That mindset has to die. We can't get new things and think the same old way. Yes, God loves us and he's able to keep us, and his mercy and his love will go far beyond anything that we could do. But in the meantime, when we say yes to God, we have a responsibility to make a change, to repent. Repent means to turn away from. That means that when you acknowledge Jesus Christ, you can't go back and go right back in the same situation. You know, I see it all the time. I've been in church all my life. There's certain people, I'm not talking about anybody, but you see them every Sunday going up to the front of the altar, asking the pastor to pray for them. Lord, I need you. Pastor, can you pray for this? Lord, I'm still struggling with this. And then you see them outside of church, they right in the same environment that's causing the issue. Listen, God ain't going to do no more than what you allow him to do in your life. And if you know that there are certain situations, there are certain things that trigger you into sin, that trigger you into a way of life that is not pleasing to God, you got to make some changes. That stuff has to die. It has to die. When Jesus died on the cross, he died. He took on all of that stuff with him. He took on our pain. He took on our issues. He took on our circumstances. And it's not for us to go back and wallow in that stuff. It's to rise with him. When he resurrected with all power in his hand, and you can work in that same resurrection power if you choose another way. Something's gotta die. Hallelujah. Something's gotta die. Are you willing to die to that stuff today? For real. I mean, seriously, we can say it out of our mouths and we can say it real churchy, like, yes, Lord, I die. I surrender to everything. I surrender to your will. But will you really do it? Will you be willing to be uncomfortable for a season to order to get to all that God has? Because that's sometimes where that frustration is that uncomfortable place. When we're weary and well-doing, it's not so much that God isn't working. It's just that it makes us uncomfortable because we're in a place we've never been before. We don't like how this feels. This is not natural. No, it shouldn't feel natural because we work for a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 13, it says, it is written, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. While we are working through death, while we're working through that stuff that we have to kill off, we have to have the same spirit of faith, as the scripture just told us, where we believe and therefore speak with an assurance that the same resurrection power is at work in us and he is raising us up with Jesus. See, Paul didn't lose hope in the midst of his suffering because faith was sure in the fact that God was resurrecting him with the same resurrection power of Jesus Christ. See, he believed and so he spoke. He believed and so he spoke, meaning that he believed it in his heart, in his mind, in his everything. And so he spoke as which he believed. What are you speaking today?
Hey, everyone. I'm Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, alongside my lovely wife.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leticia Hill.
And we want to invite you to summer at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Woo! It's going down. Hey, sweetie, tell them a little bit about what's going down every Sunday.
Absolutely. Come and enjoy the summer with us every Sunday in those months. We are going to be celebrating after service with special events for you and your family.
Yes, you and your family are going to have a great time here with our community. Let's build community. Let's have fun. Enjoy Jesus all summer long. And as well as we have some outreach initiatives that are going down that we want you to be a part of here at TCF. Listen, for more information, go to our website so you can stay connected. Also, follow us in all of our social media pages as you keep it locked on the summer here at TCF. Listen, we want to invite you every Sunday, so bring a friend, because you never know what we're going to do during service to bless somebody.
We even might throw some curveballs in.
Yeah, exactly. So you do not want to miss it. And remember, transformation starts here.
What have you been speaking? I can't make it through this. This is too hard. This ain't for me. Is that what you believe? Because that's what your mouth is speaking. And sometimes we don't even realize the things that are coming up out of us when we say it, but we have to take an introspective, and because we get frustrated. God, I don't understand. I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm praying like you told me to. Why am I still in this situation? What are you speaking? Because that'll tell you a lot about what you actually believe, because we can say we believe God. We can say we trust him, but then our actions say, I don't know. I don't know. I can't quite let this go just yet because I'm just not sure. Because if things don't quite work out, no. If you believe God, you got to be willing to say, against all odds, I will trust you. I'm willing to let all of this stuff go because I want what you have for me more than I want what makes me comfortable. I want what you have for me more than what's kept me safe. I want what you have for me more than what I think I know for myself, because we don't know anything. We are earthen vessels, as the scripture says. We are flimsy, but without the power of God, we are nothing. So anything that we can think up for ourselves is nothing compared to what God is doing. And sometimes when we get in his ways are far beyond our ways, as the scripture says, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. So just because we don't see it, we don't understand it, God has given us a small vision of the future, and we think we got it all figured out. So now we're putting our plan into action to get to that. And God said, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't call you to that. I just told you to be still in this moment. I told you to get rid of that friendship because that friendship is taking you down. I told you to let go of that relationship because that relationship is causing you to think less of yourself than you ought to. I'm trying to bring you up. I'm trying to bring you higher. I'm trying to give you more vision. I'm trying to give you more understanding of who I really am and who I really am inside of you. But you can't get it until you're willing to die to that stuff that you will not let go of. Hallelujah, so that you can then believe and then speak exactly what I'm saying, exactly what I've showed you. Hallelujah. His actions followed his belief. What are your current actions saying about what you believe? All of this, and then verse 15, we're going to keep going through. Verse 15, he says, all this is for your benefit. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. Everything that I'm going through, everything that I'm willing to die from to take on God's resurrection power, I'm going through it for your benefit. So let me speak again to those of you that are getting weary and well-doing. Remember the purpose of why you're doing what you're doing. It's not for you, but it's for somebody else. What you are going through is not just about you. Yes, it's to change you and to bring you out and to bring you into the place where God has called you to be. But your purpose is bigger than you. See, we are called to be light. Meaning that everything that we do, and this is not just by being on the pulpit, singing a song. No, that ain't really it. It's how we live in our daily life. People, we got to get this. Worship is not just what we do in here on Sunday morning. Worship is how we actually live. Because it's exposing people to Jesus Christ and how we act and our attitudes and our character and our mindset, how we treat other people, y'all. It's worship unto the Lord. That's it. It is worship unto the Lord. And what are we telling people about our God and our actions? That's it. What are we telling people? What are we telling people? And hallelujah. Because it's for their benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to reveal the glory of God. We are called to reveal his glory. We are called to reveal his glory. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Even in that which Paul was going through, he understood it was for the benefit of the people that it may cause a revelation of God's glory. He was motivated by the glory of God. His actions were motivated by God's glory. Are your actions motivated by God's glory? Do you want him to be revealed not just to you, but to others around you, so that we can all experience his presence, so that we can all experience his joy, so that we can all experience his peace? Because I'm telling you now, when you respond in a way that God would have you to respond to people and issues and circumstance, you reveal something so much greater about God. How can you have peace when all hell is breaking around you? How can you have joy when everybody is talking about you? How can you have peace in your heart when your bills are still trying to get paid? How are you able to have an assurance in your heart that everything's going to work out when you don't know if the rent's going to get paid this month? Come on, somebody. But it's because of the joy of the Lord. It's because of God the Father working on the inside of us, giving us the assurance. So we believe, therefore we speak as though we believe what God has said in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this hope of glory real quick. We're going to go over to Colossians 1, 24 through 27. It says this: now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. This is Paul speaking again. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. A couple of things I want to point out about this particular scripture. Paul was writing this from jail.
Yes, sir.
Wow. My God.
Say it again.
He was writing this from jail.
Yeah. Talk about it.
He's in jail telling somebody else about the hope of glory. So how dare we have our little issue and think that God ain't hearing us and think ain't God with us? How dare? Paul had sense enough to understand that while I'm in the midst of my trouble, I have a greater calling on my life, and the hope of glory is right here with me. He was right there in jail. He continued the continued afflictions that Christ endured in ministry through us. Is what we carry out in ministry as we are hidden in Christ. In other words, what I'm saying right there is that Paul also understood in that scripture that the persecution that we're experiencing, the tribulations and trials that we're experiencing, is not to us, but it's to Jesus Christ, because we thought that the persecution ended on the cross for Jesus. No, because we are hidden in Christ, because our identity is hidden in Christ, when they do it to you, they're doing it to him. So this light affliction that you're going through, this trial, this circumstance that you're going through, it's not really you that they're hurting. They're really hurting God. And that's why God says, vengeance is mine. You ain't got to do a thing, but stand in the truth of who God is, because we're hidden behind Christ. Where is your identity lying? Are you trying to show yourself, or are you hidden behind Christ? Because being hidden behind Christ means that you got to let go of everything that you want and you desire. And sometimes that's tough. That ain't easy when you've been trying to do it, when you've been used to doing it your way all this time, and now, God, you come in and telling me a different way of doing things. I've been comfortable this way. Well, if you want the hope of glory, you got to hope to let go of all of that stuff so that your identity can become his identity. Hallelujah. He was a servant. God placed him in this position for the sake of ministry to the church. And another thing to remember, that God did this. You didn't do this on your own. Everything that you've accomplished up to this point, it was not because of you. If you really are walking out the will of God in your life, it's because God positioned you there. So get off of your high horse and thinking that you're the only one going through, because they're doing it to him. And if they're doing it to him, they're going to try to do it to you too. But you have the hope of glory inside of you. Hallelujah. And again, it was to reveal the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, he was revealing his presence, being revealed in all things. And so that brings me to my last point, and we're almost done. Glory is coming. Do you believe that? Glory is coming. So if we go back to 2 Corinthians and we go to verse 16, he goes back to what he was saying actually in the beginning of the chapter. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Even though we are feeling the pains in our flesh, our inner man is being renewed through this process. This process doesn't feel good all the time, just like Jesus on the cross. It didn't feel good that he had to take on all that stuff. It didn't feel good when they spat on him. It didn't feel good when they beat him till he was unrecognizable. It didn't feel good when they pierced him in his side. But he took on all of that stuff so that because he knew it was renewing our relationship with him. He knew it was just reconciling us to the source of our joy, the source of our peace, the source of everything. So what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, that even though life is hard, yes, life be lifing, yes, stuff is trying to take us out, remind yourself that there's something greater on the inside of you that's renewing day by day and is working a far greater glory than you can understand right now, and it's renewing your relationship. So don't get weary in well doing, y'all. Don't get weary. TCF, do not get weary in well doing. Let me say it again. TCF, do not get weary in well doing. In your relationships, don't get weary in well doing. On your job, don't get weary in well-doing. In every situation of life that's struggling, that you're finding struggle with right now, don't get weary in well-doing, because it's only working a far greater glory in your life. Hallelujah. And that takes me to verse 17. I love this one. For our light and momentary troubles, another version says, for our light afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Affliction is not something to be endured in order to reach glory. It is the very process which creates the glory. Through travail comes birth. Through pain comes birth. Hallelujah. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's what Romans 8 and 17 says. It isn't easy to appreciate the weight of glory because it is an eternal weight. Often the problem isn't so much that in what we think about our light affliction, but in the way that we think so little of our coming glory. See, we get caught up in this momentary issue, this momentary trouble, that we forget that God has promised us that there is a glory that is far greater than what we see right now. We can't get caught up in what we see right now. In fact, our eyes should not be on what we see right now. We should have a spiritual sense, keeping our eye on Jesus, keeping our eye on Jesus, which brings me to verse 18. So it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In other words, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I don't care what it seems like right now. I don't care what you're going through, even online. I don't care what you're feeling right now. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I think about Peter on the water. The moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus as he was walking in that water, he began to shake and tremble. But as long as he kept his eyes on the Master, as long as he kept his eyes right focused on Jesus, he was able to walk across every issue, walk across every circumstance. So even in the midst of what you're going through right now, even though it got tough for a moment, keep your eyes on Jesus, because it's when Jesus is the focus that nothing else going around you matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our hope of glory. Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you I was almost done. So, and again, I want to remind you, don't lose heart. Don't be a coward. Don't be a coward in this journey, because God's got you. It's because of what you carry. It's because of the glory that's inside of you that sometimes some things have to die in the process, all because glory is coming. Hallelujah. The assignment is still the same. Trials and tribulations are still going to come, but be assured in your faith this morning and fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is our hope of glory. Somebody give God praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe that, give God glory today. Come on, you can stand on your feet. And begins to bless God, the hope of our glory. God, we thank you for being our hope. Come on, come on, bless him. Don't just give me a pity pack. Give him glory for being the hope of glory this morning. Hallelujah. We bless your name for being our hope, for being our help, for being our strength. God, we thank you. Hallelujah, for this word this morning. We thank you. Hallelujah. And as we talk about that hope of glory, that can be your hope this morning. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, if you don't know him to be God in your life, this is a moment right now where you can make a change. This is a moment where there can be a difference. I'm sure there's something, if you're watching online, that's coming on the screen right now that you can text and let somebody know that, hey, I want to know Jesus in the pardon of my sin. I want to know him in a greater way. I want to know him in a deeper way. I want to have relationship with him. And TCF is here to meet with you today and talk with you and pray with you and show you how to become and to come into relationship with him. It's very easy. The Bible says that we can confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that he raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. It's that easy. It's that simple. You don't have to do a whole bunch of hoops and things. It's just simply believing and therefore speaking that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord of your life this morning? If you don't know, text that number on the screen this morning and let TCF know, and we'll pray with you and we'll guide you. And if you're in the room, there are ministers here that are willing to pray with you and talk with you and let you know who God is. If you've been in a situation where you once had a strong relationship with God and maybe now you're waning a little bit, maybe you've gotten off track, now it's time for you to get back right in line with the hope of glory for your life. And you can meet with him today. We're willing to pray with you. We're willing to talk with you. God, we thank you now. And we pray over every heart, God, that has heard this message today, that are hearing these words right now, oh God. And maybe they're struggling with making that decision. But we ask right now that they make a move to surrender right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, Lord, every heart and every mind is sown into your heart, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we are rightly divided and rightly divinely connected to you today, oh God. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise, and we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Amen.
Well, give God praise for the word that came through this morning from Pastor G. If you were blessed, come on and put your hands together. Give God praise for him. Amen. Well, grace and peace be multiplied unto you.
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you would subscribe so you can continue to be empowered by the latest message. For more information about Transformation Christian Fellowship or Pastor Brandon Hill, visit our website, transformationchristianfellowship.org, or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to the number 94000 or visit our website. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.